Welcome in to a draft day edition of the Daft on Draft podcast. We have made it. We've made it a full 365 days since the 2024 NFL draft, and it is here.
Hold on. I got to pause you. Everybody, pay attention to Corey's voice because it is completely different now. Oh my, that microphone sounds good.
Oh, that's good to know. That's great to hear. I had the quadcast, and I like a bunch of different podcasts. People are like, can you check your mic? And I was like, whatever. I'm spending the money. We're getting the MV7. We went big. So we got the MV7 ready to roll with the XLR, not the USB version either. So ready to roll just in time for the draft. And we have made it to the draft. Again, this is just a reminder before we get in here. And yes, we are going to do a special draft day Daft or Draft. There's no better way to close out the cycle than with one of our favorite episodes in Daft or Draft. So, but before we do that, just a reminder that tonight, I guess tomorrow morning, honestly, at midnight, Dalton and I will be going live on Twitch, on YouTube, breaking down everything that happened on the first night of the draft. And then tomorrow night on Friday at 11:30 p.m., which is about when day two ended a year ago, we will be going live again on Twitch, on YouTube, to break down everything happening there. But before we dive into this Daft or Draft, Draft Day Edition, Dalton, we heard your voice a little bit there. Your mic has always sounded great. So how are you?
I am fantastic. I've had a very, very busy day, but I've had some really quality meals today as well. And when you are in a calorie deficit in a bodybuilding prep, some good high quality meals are always the highlight of your day. So let's get into it, man. We got some topics to hit on here, and we're going hot and heavy.
Yeah, we are. So just for reference here, we combed through two different mock drafts. Two people who had some of the more accurate mock drafts last year, which means they have got some pretty decent intel. One, ESPN's Peter Schrager, and two, CBS's Jonathan Jones.
NFL year, Network's Peter Schrager.
No,
right?
He's with ESPN now. He left.
When did that happen?
Like 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
I was going to say, I haven't even paid attention to that. I just saw Peter Schrager's mock draft. Yeah. I didn't even see that he was with ESPN now. Wow.
Yeah, very recent. Again, Jonathan Jones is the only person that had Michael Penix going eighth overall to the Falcons last year in terms of mock drafting. So two guys who had pretty accurate mock drafts a year ago means their intel is on par. So we're going to go through. I did go through those mock drafts. We pulled out five different questions. The first one really is just, you know, not really mock draft related, but it is related because we are hearing a ton of calls. Or a ton of news that everybody in the top five is getting calls. Everybody's trying to come up for Ashton Gentry or Travis Hunter right now, it sounds like. So, Dalton, the first after draft here, the Browns are actually fielding trade calls for the number two overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft.
It would be ridiculous. I'm drafting this for sure. It would be ridiculous if they didn't. As good as Travis Hunter is, as generational of a preparation player as he might be, on top of being a phenomenal athlete to boot, I think it would be ridiculous if they didn't field calls. Anybody would field calls. I do think it might take a quarterback-ish haul for them to actually consider it. And that's not a quarterback-ish haul to move down with three spots, four spots, but to move down just one. Because you are, I think, in their minds, as good as Abdul Carter is. And from a grading perspective, he was tags touching with Travis Hunter for me. Mm-hmm. As good as he is, and as a premium position as he plays, and as disgusting as it would be to see him and Myles Garrett on the same defensive line, I think... they are, and the NFL is head over heels in love with Travis Hunter. And so I think it would take quite a bit for them to move out of that spot and away from that player.
I agree. Yeah, I do think they're taking calls, but it's going to take a godfather-like haul. And, you know, we're talking in 2018, the Jets came up with the Colts. I think it was from 6-3, and that took 3 second-round picks. I don't think that's going to be enough for the Jaguars to come from 5-2 or for the Raiders to come from 6-2. And I don't know if the Raiders are even one of the teams that are looking to do that, but you know, we've heard some, like, the Bears are trying to, the rumors the Bears want to come up for Ashton Jeanty, some things like that. Which, here's the thing, I don't know if I buy a ton of that, because, like, not so much the Giants, but if teams, like, really wanted to come up, I think the Patriots are trying to come out. I think the Patriots would love to get out of 4. So, like, if that's the case, then, like, then 4 is going to get traded on draft night. Do I think 4 is going to get traded on draft night? I really don't. So, but I do think that could be the spot where the first trade happens is a 4. But if there was more buzz about it, because none of the top 3 teams are taking Jeanty. So if somebody's coming up from Jeanty, why not make that trade today? Like,
and we don't see many trades in the top 10 of the NFL draft. And we really don't see that many day one trades, period. A lot of the action happens on day 2 and mostly on day 3. But yeah, man, I can't imagine moving up for a running back in this economy.
As good as Ashton Jeanty.
As good as he is. In this economy with this running back class, when you can get one at 42, 43.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you somehow miss him. Like, if Jacksonville takes him at 5, if the Raiders take him at 6, you know, good on them for pulling the trigger on a running back that early. But to pull the trigger on a running back that early and give up a second round pick for it, ooh, that's bad asset management.
I agree. Especially if you're in a position to be picking in the top 10. Now, again, it's different if you take him where you lie. Sure.
Yes.
Like, I can understand 100%. that a little bit, especially a team like Jacksonville. You have Trevor Lawrence, who has underwhelmed, but you still have your quarterback. Like the Vegas Raiders, who traded for Geno Smith, you have your quarterback. One of those two teams, sure, I can get on board with them taking it where they lie. Trading up for that, you're donating a day 2 pick to come up and draft a running back, in my opinion. So, moving on though, Dalton. So, Peter Schrager had 2 quarterbacks going in the first round. Cam Ward, first overall, and Shador Sanders to the Pittsburgh Steelers, 21st overall. Jonathan Jones only had 1 quarterback going in the first round. Cam Ward going first overall. After draft, we are more likely to have 1 quarterback taken in the first round than we are to have 3.
It better be a draft. It better be a draft, because pull any name out of the hat that you want to. If they're a first round pick that isn't Shador Sanders or Cam Ward, you're wrong. Just flat out. I don't care about the Jackson Dart hype, love. I don't. Tyler's 30 years old. Like, no. Mm-hmm. Jalen Milrow, after what we saw from him in the back half of the first year, like, even with all that physical ability, no. Because even being a second round pick as a quarterback, even if you're the 33rd pick, the weight is completely off of your shoulders compared to if you are even a late first round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Sit there at 33 and take him.
Yeah. And I agree. And I'll take it even a step further, because we have to talk about this fifth year option thing and the media fan perception of the fifth year option. And I think the NFL front office perception of the fifth year option. I don't think that teams value the fifth year option the way that people within media and fan bases are like, oh, but if you come up into the back end of the first round, you get that fifth year on a guy. It's like, teams aren't going to, like, to come up from 33 to 24 is going to cost you a day 2 pick. Like, teams don't donate day 2 picks just for an extra year of roster control. It's not going to happen. If your quarterback is good anyway, he's getting extended after 3 years anyway. That fifth year really doesn't do a whole lot for teams. Back end of the first round as well, like, it matters in terms of how much that fifth year costs, but it really doesn't, because that fifth year option is more position dependent than it is position or than it is draft position dependent. So like, you're not getting a discounted fifth year option by taking a guy at the back end anyway. So like, I don't think there's any team out there that's like, yeah, I'm more willing to take a guy at 28 than I am at 33, even if he's going to be there at 33, so I can get that fifth year. It's like, no, I'm not. I'm going to keep my top 100 pick that it would cost for me to get up there, and I'm going to take another player top 100 and add them to my roster. So I do think that we're more likely to have one quarterback taken in the first round than we are to have three. Next up, so this is interesting because we're going to talk about some offensive tackles next. We know about Will Campbell. We know about Armon Membu. We're starting to come around now again and see some Kelvin Banks love as of late. A guy that Dane Brugler has been very adamant he views as a guard, a guy that he had in, like, I believe the late teens, early 20s of his big board as a guard. We're starting to see some things come around here to the point where even a Raiders, like one of the main Raiders beat writer, Vic Tafur, did a live mock draft for XL Radio or XM Radio and had the Raiders picking Kelvin Banks sixth overall in this beat writer mock draft. And he stated, I think the Raiders are higher on Kelvin Banks than they are on Armon Membu. So we're starting to see some Kelvin Banks stuff come around. Jonathan Jones mocked Joshua Simmons 13th overall to the Dolphins. We've heard some buzz that maybe the Chicago Bears like Josh Connerly more than maybe what consensus would be. So with that being said, after draft, Dalton, the number of offensive tackles taken in the top 16, the first half of the draft, will be over 3.5.
Under. Drafting it. I think it will be under 3.5 because I think it will be 3. I understand, and maybe teams will get a little bit aggressive and trade up, but as the order is set now, I can't see four teams going with four offensive tackles in the top 16. Because I struggle unless, like, the Cowboys could use one, but they haven't been linked to it yet at all. It's been all weapons or a defensive end, maybe. Mm-hmm. The Colts aren't there. The Cardinals aren't, probably. The Falcons aren't. So, like, everybody in the back end, I can't see. And so you're talking about Miami, maybe, but they could probably use more interior help than they could offensive tackle help. I just don't see where they go unless there is a lot of movement in the back end of the first half of round one.
I'm going to draft it. And I'm going to draft it because I think there are a lot of teams that want to move around. And I think if we're talking about one position that people would move around for, especially teams picking in the back half, it would be for an offensive tackle, I think, trying to get back up. Or teams sitting early in the second round trying to come back in. So we're talking here.
Yeah, but they're not going to come back into the top 15 or the top 16.
I think the Dolphins might want out. I think
No, but you were talking about teams in the top end of round two coming in. Weren't you?
Yeah, you're right. That's a lot
and
of
that's not going to happen. That's a massive move.
But we could see the Chiefs come up from like 31 to 15. I think the Falcons are a spot like that they might want to come out of. Monty Austin Fort's the trade demon on draft day, so like moving out of 16 could be an option for him with the Cardinals right there. Oh man, this is tough. The Saints. So let's just do this by teams. Actually, Patriots, Raiders, Saints are three teams that have said like or have we've primarily talked about offensive trenches. Raiders could be Genty, could be Graham, depending on what happens with the five between Genty and Graham. Could be Mason Graham or Ashton Genty. Could be Kelvin Banks or Armon Membu. Man, we're not even counting Tyler Booker. I'm gonna go over. I know. I'm gonna go over because I do think that one of Josh Connerly or one of
Josh Simmons,
some team is gonna take them on tools alone. in that grouping as well. We've talked about how starved the league is for tackles. So we're talking about two dudes with actual tackle traits, even if they are a little raw, but have that amount of athletic upside. I think I'm going to take that bet. Next one. We had just talked about Tyler Booker a little bit just now about how he was.
I just want to point out real quick that Peter Schrager only had four going in his entire first round.
Yeah.
With Simmons going 27th.
Yeah. I'm aware. Draft day just feels like a different beast, and offensive tackle seems to be the position. And Jonathan Jones does have four.
In the top 16?
Yeah. He's got Simmons at 13 to the Dolphins. He's got Kelvin Banks, 9 to the Saints. Mbeumo, 7 to the Jets,
yeah.
And Campbell, 4 to the Patriots, yeah.
The Jets are another team that we haven't talked about at tackle because we just kind of have been penciling in Tyler Warren. But yeah.
Let's stick with the offensive tackle theme or the offensive line theme here. So we, in our mock draft, we did not put Tyler Booker in the first round. Tyler Booker did not test well. However, Jonathan Jones has him mocked 17th to the Bengals. Peter Schrager has him mocked 12th to the Dallas Cowboys. So, after draft, Tyler Booker will still be a top 20 pick despite his testing numbers.
The lack of love for Donovan Jackson is just flummoxing for me.
I agree with that.
And I love Booker. And I actually have Booker graded slightly above Jackson as a guard. But with what Jackson did at tackle before Ohio State and being a much better athlete than Tyler Booker, and even on tape, he is a better athlete. But when the tea leaves are falling like this, I'm going to draft it. He will be a top 20 pick.
I'm going to draft it too. And it has to do with the fact that I still think that Tyler Booker is really good in the phone booth. He's really good in gap schemes. I think he's even good in inside zone schemes, duo schemes.
And he'll
as long as he doesn't go to a team that runs a ton of wide zone, he's going to be a really awesome run blocker still. And he's going to win in a phone booth. Yeah, he's going to be awesome in a phone booth and pass pro too. So a team like Cincinnati would be great.
Perfect fit for him, actually.
Yes, perfect fit for Cincinnati. I mean, Seattle won't draft a guard first round, but I think maybe not so much Seattle. Dallas is iffy. I think you'd be fine in Dallas. Cincinnati really is like the sweet spot, though. If we're talking top 20, Cincinnati would be that team that I would say, yeah, that's the team.
Yeah, it's just hard for me with the way that defense played last year that they wouldn't try to throw an asset on the defensive line.
Their defensive line is their interior defensive line is awful. Sam Hubbard retired. Trey Hendrickson still doesn't have any sort of contract resolution. Like, I agree. To me, Cincinnati feels very Walter Nolan-y. Feels very Walter Nolan-y to me. But I'm still going to draft it. I think he does go top 20 somewhere. Speaking of a player not mocked in the top 20 that we did mock top 20 in our mock, and we have had love for, a very volatile player in terms of draft Twitter, their opinions on him, Shamar Stewart. We both think he's a top 10 player. I think he's a top 10 player in the class. I think you had him a fringe top 10 player. I don't think he was quite in your top 10. Neither Jonathan Jones nor Peter Schrager have him in the top 20. Jonathan Jones mocks him 22nd overall to the Los Angeles Chargers. Peter Schrager goes a step further and mocks him 29th overall to the Washington Commanders. After draft, Shamar Stewart will not be a top 20 pick in the NFL draft.
I have to adapt it. I have to go with my heart here. I have to go with my heart here, and my heart here is that he's not going to go before Mike Green, but he should go before Mike Green. He should, but he won't. But I'm going to adapt it. He is going to go top 20. He will. Somebody will find a spot for him in the top 20. He'll go.
I have a hard time imagining that a guy with a 10 RAS, 20 years old, freaky athletic, very high floor already as a run defender, who even shows some upside with bend and to be able to play with ankle flexion, like, and straight speed to power. Like, there's such a solid foundation and then a sky high ceiling. I don't know how he's not a top 20 pick either. I think I will admit I was working through a mock draft today. I was like, man, it's hard to find him. There's one spot I feel really good about, and that's San Francisco at 11. I was like, oh, that's a really good Shamar spot. But based on people I'm talking to, it kind of feels like they might prefer Mykael Williams to Shamar Stewart. So if Shamar doesn't go 11, that's where it's like, but man, then where does he go?
I love him where we put him with at Cincy at 17.
I do too. I think that would be an awesome fit next to Trey. Yeah. That's where he should go. That would be lovely. So I'm still going to draft it because I think somebody pulls the trigger because there's just too much to work with and there's such a high floor already there. So I'm going to stick with our guns there and draft it. But that's it, man. We worked through five after drafts here on draft day. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, join us at midnight on Twitch, on YouTube, whatever medium you want to use there. Join us at 11:30 on Friday. We're going live. We're doing it all. It will be published as a podcast episode the next day if you don't get there. But we would love for you to join us live while the momentum is hot. Strike while the iron's hot. And then, yeah, once we turn the page on the draft, we're on to 2026. And that's where we've got some pretty cool stuff planned out for the future in terms of Daft on Draft and the future of Daft on Draft. So very excited. Thank you for following with us this entire time. I mean, we've recorded four episodes a week since middle of September, early October. So we've put out a ton of episodes here. So for the avid listeners, I couldn't be more appreciative that this is just the beginning. Dalton, do you have anything that you would like to say over the course of this year, what you're looking forward to?
Honestly, I'm just really looking forward to getting into to 2026, man. I'm really excited about just starting to dive in and getting into a new cycle because there's always a little bit of a tail at the end where it's like, ah, I'm still watching this class. And then it's all brand new. And you end the year watching UDFAs and it's like, oh man, these are not great football players. And then you get to turn the tape on some elite blue chippers right away, right off of the bat. I'm very excited to do that.
Yeah, I am too. Again, I think I've mentioned that I've already charted like 10 quarterbacks in this class.
Mm-hmm.
On Monday, actually, Monday after the draft, I am dropping an article, a film room, on the guy that I am deeming this year's quarterback riser. And I don't even know if he's a quarterback riser because I think he's the best quarterback of all of the guys that I've watched this summer. And I'm very excited to drop that on Monday. Again, just a reminder from a programming perspective, I am switching over to paid subscriptions on Sunday. So if you would like to read that film room, you will have to have a paid sub, but there's a lot of cool stuff that's coming along with that. I've launched a Discord channel that will be for paid subs as well. Kind of beta testing it with some members of Draft Twitter to make sure that all of the channels are unlocked and everything's running smoothly before then. But so you'll have access to that draft channel, that Discord channel as well. Access to every piece of analysis, early scouting reports. You'll get a free draft guide at the end of the cycle as well next year. All sorts of cool stuff that'll come along with the paid subscription. Podcasts will remain free. But that's kind of the future of Daft on Draft. So if you would like to read that article on Monday about this quarterback that I'm in love with already, you know what to do. But man, that's it. A year's worth of draft content. This is always like a heavy, a deep breath moment.
I love you guys. That's all I really have to say. I say it every time I bring us out, but I do. I really appreciate you guys for listening along with us. And I do sincerely love you for listening.
Yeah. Couldn't be more appreciative. Sky's the limit here. So this is just the beginning, but enjoy the draft. First round starts at 8. Be there at B Square and then join us at midnight. So until we see you at midnight, this has been a draft day episode of the Daft on Draft podcast. Bye.